Great. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Okay, let's try one more time. If you have a Bible, lift it up and say word, word. Word. Let's see your pens. Word. And let's see your lesson plan or your notebook or whatever you got. There you go. Okay, turn to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17. I need a volunteer, one of the athletes. How about one of the young ladies that were back here? Y'all the volleyball team, the girls that were standing right back here? Just a name. I don't need you to do anything. Just tell me your name. Nicole, where are you? Raise your hand. Oh, okay, over there. Okay, I'm looking up. Okay. How old are you? What school do you go to? Christian Heritage, out that way? I don't know east, west in this building. Do you walk to school or do you stay on campus? You're on campus? Okay. You walk to class? Okay. Okay. Nicole, when she walks to class, she walks by this park. She's trying to be all sweet, walking to class. And every day she walks to class, she walks by this park, and in this park is an old man feeding pigeons. So she went up to the old man one day. She said, "Hey, Mr. Old Man, my name is Nicole. When I graduate school, I don't have to get a job. I have all this money at home." And the old man said, Nicole, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lost your soul?" She said, "You're just jealous because you ain't got no money," and walked away. Nicole came back next day, saw the old man again. She said, "Hey, old man, we had a party last night. We were dancing, all that kind of stuff. And what'd you do last night?" And the old man said, "Nicole, even when you're laughing and having a good time, your heart can be empty." She said, "Oh, you're just jealous because you weren't invited," and walked away. Nicole came back next day, saw the old man again. And before she got to the old man, she saw a little bird that had fallen on the ground out of its nest. The bird was alive. She picked the bird up and put it in her hand, put it behind her back. She says, "I'm going to ask the old man, is the bird dead or alive? The old man says the bird is dead, I'm going to show him it's alive. If the old man says the bird is alive, I'm going to crush the bird in my hand and kill it." Big old serial bird killer. "And show the old man that the bird is dead." So she went up to the old man and said, "Hey, old man, how you doing? You think you're so smart? Tell me verses in the Bible, blah, 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 blah. Is this bird in my hand behind my back dead or alive?" The old man didn't say anything. She said, "Old man, I'm going to ask you again, is this bird in my hand behind my back dead or alive?" The old man didn't say anything. She said, "Old man, I'm going to ask you one more time. If you don't answer my question, I'm going to smack you upside your bald head. Is this bird in my hand behind my back dead or alive?" And what the old man said to Nicole is what I'm going to say to you. He said, "Nicole, whether that bird is dead or alive, whether that bird will ever fly again, the answer to life and death for that bird is in your hand." What I want to challenge all of you today is that the answer to life and death for you eternally is in your hand. You may not know when you're going to die physically, but you can determine where you end up in eternity. All of us are eternal beings. Your body will rot in the ground, but your soul will live forever somewhere, either with God or without God. With God, they call it heaven. Without God, they call it hell. Once you're in hell, there is no second chance. No one can pray you out. It's not in the Bible anywhere. It's not true. You have to make a decision in this life what your relationship with God is going to be eternally. Hopefully today, you will make that decision and make it very clear to you how to make that decision. So let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the story in the Bible we're going to look at. And we pray that you would speak to us very clearly from the story. Teach us to trust you. Teach us to take on challenges that you put before us your way, with your wisdom and your power. In Jesus' name, amen. The story I want to share with you in 1 Samuel 17 is one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. It is the story of David and Goliath. Give you a little summary. There was a hill, and one hill was the whole Jewish army. Then there was a valley in the middle, and on the other hill was a Philistine army. And every day for 40 days, a giant, Goliath, came out and talked trash. And what the giant said is, the Philistine giant, Goliath, "If anybody from the Jewish army can kill me, we will be your servants. But if I kill him, you guys be our servants. We can avoid the war thing. We'll just fight two guys." So every day for 40 days, this giant came out and said, "What's up, y'all? Who's going to fight me?" And all the Jewish guys didn't fight him. They were scared. 40 days this happened. 40 is the number of testing in the Bible. When something happens for 40 days, the test is over. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. The Jews walked for 40 years. A woman is pregnant for 40 weeks. Then the baby comes out. 40, God-ordained number. 40 days, Goliath came out talking, and on the 40th day, David comes and hears. David was a little boy. He came out to give his brother some cheese at the battle. He was at home. And when David heard the Goliath talking, he says, I can whoop him. I can whoop him. He told everybody, I can whoop him. And they were like, man, go home, little kid. And he said, no, I can whoop him. And they brought him to the king, and the king sent him out to fight Goliath. The title of my message is Giant Killer. My challenge to all of you is that you become a giant killer. That you would face all the obstacles that are before you, physical, economic, spiritual, social, and take them on in God's way, not your way. All of us have challenges. Some of us have 5 or 6 types of challenges. You cannot overcome those challenges God's way unless you trust God. And that's what we're going to see in the story. We're going to see a very unlikely candidate to kill the giant because he trusted God. Let's read the story. Verse 22. It says, David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion of the Philistines of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words that he kept saying for 40 days. He said the same thing over again. And David heard them. So all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen that dude? Surely he is coming to defy Israel, and that the man that kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and his father's house exemption from taxes. And David spoke to the men who stood by and said, what will I get if I kill the Philistine? And they told him what he should get. First thing I want to tell you is here's David. He's keeping his sheep. And his father says, go out and talk to your brothers and give them some cheese. So he tells his sheep, I'll be right back. I know it's corny, but y'all use it later. I know you will. So his sheep said, okay, goodbye. So he went to his brothers, and when he went out to his brothers, he's talking to his brothers, and here comes Goliath. Boom, boom, boom. Yo, who wants to fight? Who wants to fight? Send somebody out here to fight me. And David's like, what's that? He said, man, it's Goliath. That dude was 9 feet 9 inches tall, ugly, stanky, smelly, and strong. We ain't going out to fight that dude. Look what it says in your Bible in verse 24. It says, all the men of Israel, when they saw, everybody say saw. Say saw. When they saw the man, they fled. They ran from him and were afraid. So the men of Israel said, have you seen? Everybody say seen. Say seen. Now, in your lesson plan, write, giant killers walk by faith. In your lesson plan, write that down. Giant killers in the space, right? Walk by faith, not by sight. Here's what happened. When the Israeli soldiers saw this big giant, they felt the ground shake. They heard him talking trash. They probably could smell him. He probably was stanky. Their brain processed that information and said, we cannot fight him. The Bible says the just, the righteous, shall walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall walk by faith, not by sight. If you want to please God, you got to please God by faith. Our senses, our eyes, our ears, our nose, our fingers, our nervous system, our conscience, our experience, we gather information, but then we say, God, what do you want to do with that information? Because God will tell you to do stuff your logic will tell you not to do. God will tell you not to do stuff your logic will tell you to do. God will tell you to do stuff all the smartest people you know will tell you to not to do. God's wisdom is higher and better than man's wisdom every day of the week, 24 hours a day. So you have to have faith in God if you're going to overcome obstacles that God has put before you, because God is going to put you in impossible situations all the time. Some of us are in them now. You need God. That's not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of wisdom. It's dumb to try to fight on your own. It's smart to use God's power, especially the power he has offered to you. Look in your lesson plan. It says David was not influenced by what he saw, but by what he believed. If you have a conviction in your heart that God has told you something, if you have a conviction in your heart that God loves you, has a plan for your life, and all the information outside of you say to the contrary, your conviction has to push you on. In all your life, in all of our lives, if you're ever going to accomplish anything great, you're always going to have opposition. People telling you what you can't do. When I was in college, one of my coaches, he was another position coach. He heard me telling all my friends I was going to the NFL. Well, I told everybody that. And before I was drafted, he was telling all my friends behind my back I was too small, too short, too slow, and there's nothing I could do. Little did he know that I was very average size for guys in the NFL doing what I did. But because he didn't know anything, he was stupid and didn't know what he was talking about, he was running his mouth. But you know, every time I heard that, I was like, yeah, say it again. Write it down. Get a video. Because you're wrong. Because I know. And even when I got drafted, got cut, I still was going to do it. When God has told you to do something, everybody around you could be saying no. All your information can say it can happen. But if you have the conviction in your heart, you have to, and you're trusting in God, you have to continue to go. David says, I don't care what y'all see. I don't care what y'all hear. I don't care what you feel the ground shake. I know God has called me to kill that giant. Look in your lesson plan. It says, we cannot please God without faith. What God has called you to do in your life requires faith. You can't do it without faith. He's going to call you to do impossible things, and it's going to require you to trust him. The Bible says, the lesson plan says, we cannot be saved without faith. You cannot be forgiven of your sin without faith. Why? Because the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says the penalty of sin is death. That means one out of every one people are going to die because of sin. The Bible says you can't forgive yourself. You can't cleanse yourself of your sin. But the Bible says that Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, died on the cross to pay the price for your sin and my sin, and he rose from the dead. You've never seen him. You didn't see him walking around. But by faith, you believe he died. By faith, you believe he rose. And by faith, you believe he loves you and has a plan for your life right now. So by faith, you say, Lord, forgive me. Take over my life and show me why I am. Show me who I am supposed to be. Show me. That's by faith. So giant killers walk by faith, not by sight. Look what it says in verse 31. 31, it says, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to the king Saul, and he sent for David. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, for your servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go fight the Philistine, for you are nothing but a little kid, and he a man of war from his youth. What, what? Listen, David, you're nothing but a little boy, and he has been a man since he was a little boy. Let me say it again. David, you're nothing but a little boy, and he's been a man since he was a little boy. Huh. How do you be a man when you're a little boy? You be responsible. We know many 20 and 30 and 40, 50-year-olds who are nothing but little kids. Yeah. Is that what you're laughing at? Okay. Let me rephrase that. We know many older people who've never grown up and matured. We've known many young kids who are very mature. It's about how much responsibility you can handle. What King Saul was saying was David's been responsible since he was little. David, you're only a little kid. Look what it says, the next verse. This is my favorite verse of the whole story. David said to Saul, your servant used to. Everyone say used to. Say it like David. Say used to. He used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took it from the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Here's what David said. If a lion and a bear came out and took one of the sheep, I went out, bap, took it, opened its mouth and took the sheep. And it came after me. I went, what? Put the sheep down, said, bow, 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 and killed it and went back. But look at what David said. This is the favorite verse. David said, I used to keep my father's sheep. Everyone turn to verse 20. Turn to verse 20 before this. David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. David was keeping sheep that day. Here's what David said. They said, David left the sheep, right? Remember, he said, I'll be right back. That's why I had to say that. I'll be right back. That same day, he goes, he hears Goliath. He starts telling everybody, I can whoop Goliath. I can whoop Goliath. I know I can whoop him. I can whoop him. I'm a bad man. I can whoop him. I can whoop him. They said, bring him to the king. King brings him in, and right before he goes into the king's tent, he takes all the sheep fuzz off his body, and he walks in and says, when I used to keep back in the day, I don't keep sheep anymore. I'm a giant killer. Ooh. Ooh. Look in your lesson plan. Giant killers know when to grow up. Oh. David, they said, David, the king wants to see you. And all of a sudden the light went on. It's time for me to grow up. I'm going to take this giant out. And right before he went to the tent, he went, that's the old life. King, I'm ready here to take the giant out. Look in your lesson plan. David knew when it was time to change from a shepherd boy into a giant killer. Don't answer the question. Just think, how many of y'all need to step up today? It's time for me to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I've heard about him. I've been to church. I've been here, but it's time for me to make a commitment. Stop playing around with God. Don't think you're going to die and face God, and God's going to say, why should I let you in? Oh, I went to the rock three times. Ain't going to work. I saw Master Miles at the mall. I ain't going to work. Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to save you. You got to say, Lord, it's time for me to ask you to be my Savior. Giant kills no one to step up. David knew. This is my time. A lot of y'all been going to church here for months or years, 2 years or however long we've been, and guess what? All you do is come on Sunday. It's time to step up. Time to be a small group leader. It's time to open your home up. It's time to get in the ministry. It's time to start serving. It's time to start giving. It's time to start praying. It's time to be faithful. It's time to start sharing your faith in your job, at your school, on your team, whatever it is. It's time to do what you're supposed to do. It's all in the book. Nothing I'm making up. And David, he understood that. Look at your lesson plan. It says, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, right there in your lesson plan, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. It's time to say, Lord, I'm going to stop living this way, and I'm going to start living this way. I'm going to stop bragging about these little giants that I've been fighting. I'm ready to take on some big giants. When I was the first started ministry, it was with these Filipino kids in my neighborhood. Rancho Penasquitos. When I came to California, or before I came to California, I had never seen a Filipino person. So when I moved into Rancho Penasquitos, I didn't know what nationality these kids were. So they were out in front of my house all the time drinking, throwing beer bottles in my lawn. So I went out one day. It was about six of them standing out in front of my house. I said, yo, man, what are y'all? I mean, you know, let's get right to the point. They said, we Filipino, man. We Filipino. So I said, okay. You Filipino. How you spell Filipino? They had black hair, brown skin, Asian eyes, and they dressed cool. I just couldn't put it all together. So I started witness to them, started my ministry with them, and then one day, make a long story short, there was going to be this little gang fighter, these little Filipinos from Penasquitos, little Filipinos from Mira Mesa, the Ice House of Mira Mesa. I'm going to go be the hero. They're only that big. All these kids that I knew. Well, I go there, and it happened to be an altercation between a Samoan gang from L.A. and a Samoan gang from San Diego. The brother was 6'9". His head was this big. I am not joking. The brother had a hickey on his neck this big. I am not joking. Here I'm thinking I'm going to have, you know, with these little 15-year-old Filipino kids. Here his brother's 23 years old. He's 9 feet, 4 inches tall. God says, you know what? I want you to stop messing around with these little Goliaths and go to a big Goliath in your life. And we got all these little challenges we think we're fighting. God says, listen, if you trust me, we can go bigger. And not that you have to have bigger in the sense of more money or more people, but that you would become a stronger person. That God would enable you to do more for him. than you do for yourself. Look what it says in verse 36. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you, because I definitely will not be. In your lesson plan, giant killers give God all the credit. You got a successful business today? Is it because of you, or is it because of God? You got a wife today that's still with you? Is it because of you, or is it because of God? You got a wife, period. Is it because of you? I mean, you see these girls walking, this dude walking. Ah! How'd that? God did it. God did it. I don't get it, but God. Remember that day you were depressed? God got you through. Remember that day you left the bar drunk, and all you remember is walking out and then waking up the next morning? God, you don't remember driving home. You were suicidal, broke, didn't know how you're going to make payments. God, you thought it was you? Oh, no. No, no. I did a chapel for the Houston Texans last night. And a few of the guys got saved. It was guys were Christian guys. And David Carr, the quarterback, Christian, was there. Coach was there. Coach Christian. I said, you know what? Y'all won the first game of the whole franchise history, first time done in 41 years. Do you think it was you? No. It was God. You got paid, just take the money, give God the credit. Don't take the money and the credit. God, the owner's a Christian, the coach is a Christian. God. And in your life, you need to say, wait a minute, what has God done in my life? How have I gotten this far? It is not because of you. It doesn't mean you didn't do anything, but you got to understand, God. I was in a hospital the other day visiting a guy who was in a motorcycle accident, 28 years old. Had a stroke the night of it, that he got taken to the hospital, had a stroke, paralyzed from his chest down, trach in his throat, can't talk, he has a thing right into his throat. And I'm walking in the hospital, looking at all these people in wheelchairs. It was a rehabilitation center. And the first thing that comes to my mind, as soon as I walked around, I saw all these people, this little voice said, that could easily be you, that quick. Accidents happen? Like that. And I said, God, thank you I'm able to walk. Thank you I have not been in a car accident. Thank you that I'm able to do what I can do today, because I might not be able to do it tomorrow. We got to give God credit. David says, God delivered me from the paw of the lion. God delivered me from the paw of the bear. God is going to deliver me from this Philistine, because I believe God's called me to fight the Philistine. God, look what it says in your lesson plan at the bottom of the first page, 1 Corinthians 1:27. It says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the mighty, and the base things to shame, and the things that are despised. He has chosen to bring to nothing the things that are, that nobody can brag. I'd rather be the weak guy beating the strong guy. I'd rather be the poor guy beating the rich guy. I'd rather be the small guy beating the big guy, because God help me. I don't want to be the big guy getting beat by the small guy. I don't want to be the rich guy getting beat by the poor guy because I trusted my money. I want to be the guy that has the disadvantage saying, God, you help me, and God overcome the big guy. Wouldn't you? And here's what it says. He says, listen, if I can find just somebody that will trust me and surrender everything they have to me, I can show myself strong in their behalf. I'll do amazing things in their life. So whatever it is you have going on in your life, God says, cast your cares on me. I care for you. Give them to me. Don't try to do it yourself. Don't try to do it yourself. That's what he's there for. He did not put you down here to see if you can make it on your own, and then he'll help when you can't. He put us down here to have fellowship with us, to have a relationship with us. That's why. That's why. Look what it says in verse 38. It says, Saul clothed David with his armor and put a bronze helmet on his head, and he also clothed him with a coat of mail. And David fastened the sword to his arm and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off, and he took a staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag in a pouch, which he had, and a sling in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. Oh, it's on like hot butter popcorn now. Oh, it's on, it's on. King Saul said, David, you need this. Put a big helmet on his head. Blank. Gave him a big old sword, gave him a coat of mail, put all his shield, and David's walking around clankety-clank, clankety-clank, and David said, King, I can't do this. Took it off. He went, hold up, King. He went, got this one right here. Yeah, this one's smooth. It'll go right through his head. This one here. And all he had was a sling. He said, I'm ready. This is all I need. All that stuff this king put on him was all symbolic of his lack of faith. You're going to need this helmet because he's going to hit you on your head. You're going to need the shield because he's going to smack you on the side. And you're going to need this space. And now all I need is 5 rocks. Look at your lesson plan. Giant killers are led by the Spirit. David fought God's way, not man's way. God will guide you through life. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, guess what God does? He gives you his Holy Spirit. You're not a Christian by name. You're a Christian by union, relationship. And God's Holy Spirit will speak to you, guide you through his word, through his spoken word in your heart, which will never contradict his written word. That's how you know it's from God. Look in your lesson plan. It says, John 16:13, whoever, when he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you in all truth. The Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. The next verse says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. When God's Holy Spirit lives in you, he begins to tell you how much God loves you, the plan that God has for your life, how he wants to use you, how he wants to change you, and he gives you the power to do that. It's a relationship, not a religion. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. Matter of fact, God created marriage as a symbol of our relationship with him. We are the bride, the church, and he is the groom. Same thing. When a man and woman gets married, the two become one. And they, when they get married and the pastor unites them, two become one. That's what supernaturally happens. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, two become one. He comes to live in your heart. Not a coincidence. We didn't make up marriage. He did. Look what it says in verse 41. This is my favorite part of the story. Verse 41, the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him, and the Philistine looked down at David and disdained him, for he was a youth, ruddy and good-looking. And the Philistine, Goliath, said, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks, boy? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, boy, you come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin? But I come to you in the name, he's growing up as we speak right now. I come to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel whom you have defied. And look what David says. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the bodies of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and your mama's head and all the earth. And all the earth may know that you're the God of Israel. David said, what, boy? I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to cut all your army off. He only had 5 rocks. He only had 5 rocks. Imagine me saying to all y'all, I'm going to kill all y'all. I got 5 rocks. What's it going to ricochet? Bing, 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 bing. Look what it says in your lesson plan. God, giant killers fight in God's name for God's glory and not their own. David says, when I kill you, everybody's going to know there's a God in Israel. He didn't say, when I kill you, I'm going to be the world champ. He said, I'm doing this for God. You live for God. You do your best for God. That's the highest standard you can live for. Not a man's, a teacher, a principal, your boss, your coach, God. He knows all your thoughts. He knows all your actions. You do your best for God. That's all you can do. That's the best you can do. And look what it says in verse 48. And this is the best part of the story. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, and slung it and struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone stank in his forehead, and he fell to the face of the ground. And David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. K-I-L-T. David ran, took this Philistine sword out, and cut off his head. I want you to imagine this. Here's this giant, and here's this little kid. The giant got a big old shield, a big old sword, armor, and the little kid has five rocks and a leather strap. And the Philistine's saying, boy, I'm going to kill you, you little punk. Come on over here. I'm going to kill you. And this little boy said, what? I'm going to cut your head off, little giant. And the Bible says they ran. David wasn't like this. Throwing a rock. David was like, come on. If any of y'all saw Mike Tyson fight Evander Holyfield the first time, here's what happened. There was incredible hype for probably a year for this fight. And right before the bell rang to start the fight, Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield were in their corners, waiting for the bell to ring like this. You would have thought they were going to run a sprint. They were like this. And as soon as the bell rang, they ran out to the middle of the ring and started fighting. They weren't like, ding, okay, who's going to? No. They were like, let's get it on. And David was like, let's go. Let's go. You feel froggy jump. And they started talking trash to each other. And they ran each other. And David took his rock out and flung it. Now, this is what he did. Promise y'all wasn't there. But I was in this valley. I went to this place where they had this fight before when I went to Israel. We were in the valley there, and he went. Follow through is very important. I promise you, I wasn't there, but I promise you that all those Jewish soldiers were on that hill watching that rock. Can I get an amen? They're like, that brother better not miss. So they ran out. I'm going to kill you, boy. I'm going to kill you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, understand this. Understand this. God had been training David all his life for this day. He was taking care of sheep. Bear come out, take a lion, take a rock, whap, get back. Little sheep get out of line, whap, get back. Birds kind of come down, whap, knock them out of the sky. Then God said, okay, now I want you to run and throw it. So he running, whap, throw it at the tree. Run and throw it at there, whap, throw it over there. So he was good. He was good. And then when he had to fight the giant, he said, I'll do what I was doing in my yard. I'll do it to that guy. Matter of fact, this is going to be fun because he's alive. Little kids love to throw rocks. And they love to throw rocks at stuff that's moving. And if it's alive, that's even better. My son one day, when he was about 7, I don't remember how old he was. But he was throwing rocks in front of the house, and my friend happened to be driving by in his red car. And he threw the rock at the car and hit the car. Oh, that's David. David said, whoa, 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 whoa. Boom. Right on the ground. And look what it says in verse 51. David ran, stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they ran. David. Cutting off his head. Took his head. Gave him to the king. That was a bad dude. Y'all saw Braveheart? This is Braveheart stuff. My friend, I went to a friend of the house for vacation. And he said, have you ever seen Braveheart? said, man, I didn't watch that medieval stuff because I just saw the previews. He said, oh, you ain't never seen a movie. So he had this big screen with the laser disc. It was midnight. He put the movie in. 1 o'clock in the morning. It's like it's a 5-hour movie. So we're sitting in front of this thing at 2 o'clock in the morning, and the beginning of it, 30 minutes, is all boring. It's like, man, this movie is boring. He goes, shut up and listen. It's going to be on in about 5 minutes. And if you saw the movie, you know it's just all blood and guts. That's what this was. That's what this was. David realized, you know what? It's time for me to grow up. It's time for me to do this for God's glory. It's time for me to walk away from my old life. In 1984, I was laying in my couch down the street from this building, right down Montezuma, and I was in my second year playing football, and I said, it's time for me to grow up and ask Christ to be my Savior. And I had done cocaine all that night, and I said, Jesus, I'm ready to be whatever you want me to be. Please forgive me. I never did cocaine again, never smoked marijuana again. I got back with my girlfriend that day. We're married, been married 18 years, just had our anniversary last week, 18 years, because, hey, you know what I'm saying? But not because of me, because the reason it was messed up was because of me. But when I said, Lord, here's my life, he said, okay, now I'll fix it if you continue to trust me. Same thing with you. You got to realize, okay, it's time for me to get my life right with God. It's not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of wisdom. Sign of wisdom. That is why you were created, to have fellowship and relationship with the creator of the universe. So in a minute, we're going to pray. There's two groups of y'all. One, there's a group of y'all that need to say, Lord, I'm ready to step up. God wants to have a relationship with you, to ask him to forgive you of your sin, no matter what age you are, young or old. Second group is most of y'all in here who are already saved. You know what God's saying? What's up? What you want to do? When are you ready to do what he's calling you to do? Wipe the sheep fuzz off your body. Say bye to those sheep. Y'all like that over there. You need to get rid of the sheep. And you need to start going doing what God's called you to do. Step up and become a giant killer. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for David and his faithfulness. We thank you for his goodness to trust you. Lord, we thank you for your love for us and your plan for our life. And Lord, I thank you for everybody that's here and your love for them. You know everybody here. You know everything about their life. You know all their struggles, their pains, their fears, their weaknesses, their failures. And you say to them, I love you. I want all your pain. Cast all your cares on me because I care for you. Dear Lord, I pray today that people would make a decision to leave the sheep behind and become giant killers. If you realize today that you are a sinner, you realize that your sin has a penalty. It's called death. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. And you realize and believe those things to be true. We see it every day. People die every day. And it's because of sin. Sin is what makes us mortal beings. But Lord, I thank you that you died for our sin. You paid the price for our sin, if you believe that. I thank you that you rose from the dead. So if this morning you say, you know what, I know I'm a sinner. I believe my sin has a penalty. And I want my sin forgiven. I want Jesus to forgive me and cleanse me. And I want that Holy Spirit to live inside of my heart and guide and direct my life, transform my life. I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. This is between you and God, nobody else. When you die, you will stand before God alone. No one can vouch for you. you're going to have to deal with Christ alone. Deal with him now. So if in the privacy of your heart, you would like Jesus to forgive you of your sin and accept you as his child, pray this prayer with me by faith, believing these things to be true. In the privacy of your heart, not out loud, in your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. I believe it has a penalty, death. But I believe that Jesus loves me, that he died and rose from the dead for my sin. Dear Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Please be my Savior and my Lord. I surrender. I give up. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand and acknowledge God. But if I ask you to stand, you shouldn't have to think about it because you just gave your life to God. You now belong to him. You shouldn't have to worry about what people think, even though you're with family now. You've just admitted to God that he's right, that he's God and you're not. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you. If you can't stand here with family, you'll never stand out there. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed, if you prayed that prayer to ask Jesus to be your Savior, and you're saying today, I want God to forgive me, right now, stand to your feet and stay standing right now. God bless you. Good. God bless you. 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 Good. God bless you. Good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good. Good. Eyes closed, heads bowed. God spoke to you and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to give you my life. Stand to your feet. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Good, good, good. Anybody else? Good, good, very good, very good, very good, very good, 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 very good. God has spoken to you and he's telling you, I love you. I died and rose from the dead right now. I want you to acknowledge me. Yes. In this public place. If you're in the lobby, stand up. If you're in Casa Royale, stand up. Anybody else? Good, good. Very good. Good. Now we're going to ask all you people who are standing, including those in the lobby, in a minute, we're going to ask you if you're standing to acknowledge him as we welcome you to the family of God. Step out of your seat and come right down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand. Come on down here. Come on. Come down here. Come on. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Stay right there, okay? Keep your face this way. Keep your face this way. This way. God bless you. Keep your face this way. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You guys can face this way. Turn around. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. 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 Amen. Good, good, good. The Bible says, if you're faithful and just, God is faithful and just to forgive you if you confess your sin. God is faithful and just to forgive you. If you confess your sin, he'll forgive you and cleanse you from unrighteousness. It's all gone. He will take away the desire to sin, if you could believe that. I used to want to get high. Don't want to get high anymore. Sometimes I want to check out, but not get high. Because God does that. And the Bible says he will remember your sin no more. When he sees you, he won't think about what you used to do. He's going to think about what he's going to make you into. By faith, though, you have to walk. He's going to change your life if you let him, and he'll change as much as you give him. And he'll do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine in your life. What does that mean? That what he wants for you, you cannot imagine. You just have to trust him. You'll never be able to figure it out, and you won't even believe it if he told you. Matter of fact, he will tell you and you won't believe him. You're going to know, God, oh, no, I can't do that is what you'll say. And he'll say, you're right, but I can't. Just trust me. So all you got to do is walk by faith. In a minute, we're going to pray for you, and I'm going to have half of y'all go over there under that sign so we can pray for you, and half of y'all go under that sign we can pray for you. I want to challenge all of y'all. Y'all got giants in your life. This is a story in the Bible. It's real. It's not a fairy tale. The reason those stories are in the Bible is to help us to trust God and know what God does for those who trust him. Live it. Live it. Amen? Let's pray for them. After I pray for them, I'm going to try to get down the aisle. If y'all could just let me get through so I can shake people's hands at the door, and all you athletes go to the table and get your book. So let's pray for them real quick. Lord, we just thank you for these people and the faith they had to come up here today. We pray that they would trust you. We pray that they, in their own way, will become a giant killer. They have today. They killed a major giant, their own sin in their life. Lord, I pray you bless them and transform their life. Show them things they never seen. Tell them things they never heard. Teach them things they never learned. Give them ability to see, hear, and learn like they never had before. And Lord, I pray all of us would allow you to mold and shape us into giant killers. That there will be no obstacle you would put before us that we can't overcome with your power and your wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If I can ask y'all to walk that way, that way, amen.